If you live long enough, you find that life is full of irony. Soviet emigre David Gurevich found that out recently when he returned to Russia to drop in on the KGB.
Moscow is a lousy place in winter. Wet, chilly, muddy. Power's running low. This is the darkest city of 8 million that I have ever seen. Russians are still stunned by the tenfold increase in prices. They literally don't know what hit them. We know what hit them. Capitalism. Capitalist greed has now swept Russia like socialism never did. I read about the prison camp administration in the Urals that charges foreign reporters $1,500 a day, officially, for visiting the camp. Gulag for sale. Is nothing sacred anymore? The KGB, or what's left of it, is trying to keep up as well. They even have guided tours of their headquarters now, at $30 a pop. Here Chairman Andropov used to sit. Here poison pen taken from CIA spy. Total ripoff. But wait, there's more. In January, I saw articles in the Washington Post and Wall Street Journal about two Hollywood companies who claimed they had bought certain KGB files which would reveal secrets like the Rosenberg's case and the Cuban crisis. Hot stuff. The article sounded as if cardboard boxes full of reports were being loaded on planes and later transformed by Hollywood hacks into, ta-da, the KGB, the series, brought to you by... I was skeptical, but could I resist a scoop? A New York magazine called Details sent me to investigate. Most people in Moscow would have trouble finding Kolpachny Lane, where the Russian Foreign Intelligence Public Relations Office is located. But I knew Kolpachny. It brought back a lot of memories. 17 years ago, I stood in line right across the street at the KGB visa section for my exit visa. I'm telling you, once upon a time, I was branded a traitor. And now I'm sitting down to interview the foreign intelligence officials. To be fair, I was not talking to the internal police thugs who had once persecuted Sakharov and Solzhenitsyn. The smooth-talking guys whom I interviewed took pains to point out the difference. They were glamour boys, Ruski James Bonds, who had put in years in the West. We wear the same brand of shoes, I remarked to one of them. Of course, he grinned. Timberland. If before they used to think of themselves as James Bonds, now they see themselves as Ian Flemings. For example, the lucky owner of Timberlands, Oleg Tsarev, has already paired up with a British writer named John Costello, and they have a book coming out about a Soviet spy who used to run the so-called Cambridge Group, which included famous spies like Kim Philby. And, of course, they're not selling any files. Well, maybe. In the future. There are negotiations underway. Even so, the money will not be paid for the files proper. Just some carefully edited bits and pieces. It won't be a sale. It will be consulting services. Other KGB men got plenty of stories to tell as well. After a bottle of vodka, they'll talk your head off. We got along famously. To them, I was no longer a traitor, but a successful colleague, a published author. I ended up conducting a mini-seminar on publishing, editors, agents. Yes, nowadays KGB agents are looking for Western literary agents. Agents... who need agents are the luckiest agents in the world.
David Gurevich is the author of From Lenin to Lenin.